The topic that I was given to preach on today is entitled, Our Winning Message, Christ Crucified. Our Winning Message, Christ Crucified. Let me start with this story. There's a story told about a pastor that got up in the pulpit and apologized for the band-aid on his face. He said that, I was thinking about my sermon while shaving and accidentally cut my face. Afterwards, the treasurer, you know, when they're the ones collecting the offering during offering time, found a note in the collection plate and said, gave it to the pastor and gave the note that said, next time, pastor, think about your face and cut the sermon. Well, I have good news for you today, this morning, that I was not thinking about my sermon while shaving, therefore, I'm aware of when to cut my sermon. Amen? Praise God. Charles H. Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers, said something like this, instructing a group of seminary students on sermon delivery. And he said something like this, when you speak of heaven, let your face light up with the heavenly glim. Let your eyes shine with reflected glory. And when you speak of hell, well, then your usual face will do. Amen. He also said this. I'm going to give you another quote. The motto of all true servants, and this is from Charles Spurgeon too, the motto of all true servants of God must be, we preach Christ and Him crucified. A sermon without Christ in it is like a loaf of bread without any flour in it. No Christ in your sermon, sir? Then go home and never preach again until you have something worth preaching. I can safely say that at the very core of every message that has been preached behind this pulpit, regardless of the topic or the handsome pastors who preached behind it, amen, is the winning message of the church, which is Christ crucified. The message of the cross of Christ, which is the wisdom and the power of God, has brought life to the dead, hope to the hopeless, acceptance to the rejected, peace to the restless, healing to the sick, and life eternal to those who believe. Unfortunately, not everyone is willing to accept or believe the message of the cross of Christ. Some are even hostile towards it. Today we're going to look at Luke 23, 32 to 43, which is one of the accounts in the Gospels about the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus and the two thieves who were crucified next to Him. In this narrative, we shall see two different responses to Christ's suffering on the cross shown by the two thieves, which I believe is a reflection of how people today respond to the message of the cross of Christ. Let's read Luke 23, verse 32 to 43. You can follow with your eyes or you can open your Bibles. Verse 23. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, he saved others, let him save himself if he's God's Messiah, the chosen one. The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was a written code above him which read, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. He said, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom? I like the answer of Jesus in verse 43. Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Give us ears to hear and a heart to obey what your Spirit will say. Open up our minds. Open up our hearts. May we be listening to what you want to do in our lives today. Expose the things that need to be exposed. Change the things that need to be changed. Help us, Lord, that we may hear from you and learn from you this morning. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at your neighbor and give them a high five and say to them, "I love you with the love of the Lord." There you go. There you go. There you go. Amen. Hallelujah. As we have clearly read, the thieves crucified next to Jesus had two different responses to the message of the cross of Christ. You agree, right? We saw that. Let us look at the first one, which I call the antagonistic response. Now, we're going to look at three crosses here, and we're going to go them one by one, and we can see how each response is a reflection of maybe in our own lives. Like what I said, the first one is what I call the antagonistic response. Let me read to you Luke 23, verse 39 again. The Bible tells us one of the criminals who hung their insults, hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." I also call this the cross of rebellion. So the question we need to ask ourselves is this: what are the main reasons why some people choose to reject and rebel against the message of the cross of Christ? I think that's a fair question to ask, right? You know, there are four things I want to share to you today in regards to this. One of the first ones is pride. I believe pride plays a big role in people's lives today. That's why they cannot really see the message of the cross of Christ. Oswald Chambers said, "All heaven is interested in the cross of Christ. All hell is terribly afraid of it, while men are the only beings who more or less ignore its meaning. Just like the thief who hurled insults at Christ, he failed to see the real meaning of Christ's suffering and death on the cross. So instead of recognizing what Jesus was doing was for him, he actually rejected it. Pride can blind us in acknowledging the need of God in our lives. 1 Corinthians 1, 22 to 24, the Bible tells us, and the Apostle Paul recognized this problem when he said, "Jews demand signs, the Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews, foolishness to the Gentiles, but for those of whom God has called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Because of their pride, the Jews, during that time, instead of trusting in what Christ has done for them on the cross, demanded for a miracle or a sign, which was clearly seen during the crucifixion of Jesus, when they insulted Jesus by saying, "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross and save yourself." They were demanding for a sign. Even though when Jesus was walking in this earth and these Jews actually saw him heal the sick, you know what I'm saying? They saw the blind see, the crippled walk. But some of these Jews or leaders during that time attributed the miracles that Jesus has done to the prince of demons, which is Beelzebub. So they never really believed what Jesus was trying to do. But they were still demanding for a sign. But they were doing just out of, you know, because they want to insult him. They trusted more on their religion than on Christ. And we can see this in society nowadays. We have a form of godliness. We go to church, but yet denying its power. Do you see what I'm trying to say? And I call this religion. On the other hand, we can see the Greeks think that the message of the cross of Christ is foolishness. You have to understand, the Apostle Paul went through Athens and he actually had a debate with some Greek philosophers talking about life and the meaning of life. And they were asking these questions. And when the apostle Paul tried to share, you have to know he spent there about a year and tried to share the gospel message to them. But when they heard about the message of the cross, the Greek philosophers thought that the message of the cross was just merely foolishness. In other words, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make sense. Let me say this to you. Pride can truly rob you of the blessings that is already in front of you. Right? The second reason why people reject the message of the cross of Christ is what I call pleasure. In 1 John 2, verse 15 to 18, the Bible tells us, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever." Amen? A person who lives to pursue the pleasures of life, the lust of the flesh and the eyes, and not to live to please God, will find themselves singing a very familiar chorus that I know Pastor Ed Montaigne knows this, from a famous song saying, "I can get no satisfaction, but I..." There you go. And I try. I cannot reach that note. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop there, okay? "I can get no satisfaction. It is only in fulfilling God's will that one can find satisfaction in life. Because when you have Jesus, you have everything." The problem with pleasure is a quick fix. It's like a person who's addicted to drugs or addicted to sex or addicted to pornography. It can only please you for a while, but in the long run, it doesn't really satisfy. That's why they get into more drugs and another kind of drug and another kind of experience. Instead of pursuing a person, they pursue a feeling. And if you pursue a feeling, you're going to get in trouble because you know for a fact that feelings comes and goes. But if you pursue a person because you love that person, whether you feel it or not, or whether you don't feel good or you feel bad, you are committed to that person because you love that person. You're not using that person as an object just to please yourself. But you are finding ways to really, really, really find meaning in life. If you don't pursue feelings, but you pursue a person, I believe life will be more satisfying. Amen? Praise the Lord. The third reason why people reject the message of the cross of Christ is people. Hopefully it's not the person next to you. I'm just joking. Unfortunately, some people got turned off of Christianity not because of Christ, but because of professing Christians who confess to know Christ but live their lives as if they don't know Him. Mahatma Gandhi said, "I like your Christ. I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so unlike your Christ." This is the reason why in Ephesians 5, verse 8 to 11, the Apostle Paul encouraged the church in Ephesus when he said, "I want you to listen to this church because I think this is for all of us. For we were once darkness, but now you are in the light, are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Find out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." You and I, we have a responsibility. Yes, God's grace is available for us, and God's love is here for us. But it's not meant for us to keep. It is meant for us to share to others. And the only way that we can share to others in an effective way is not only through the words that we say, but through the life that we live. I remember this one time, I was in the gym in LA Fitness down in Rancho Cucamonga. I was so embarrassed that this happened. Already a pastor. And I remember one of the people... in the reception area, you know, very annoying because I forget to bring my my card that you need to check in, and they, you know, kind of like you put it there in the barcode, and then they check you in. And then this lady kept on bugging me because, yeah, I forgot, but I'm a member, I've been paying, I always, in time with my payment, and I forgot about it. And every time when I come in, I forget about it, she always gives me a hard time about it. And she's younger.
And I just got mad. I said, like, you don't treat me like a kid. I'm much older than you. I don't want you to treat me that way. Stop doing that. Every time I'm paying. Look at my record. I'm on time. Please do not treat me like a baby. I was like looking at her face. And then she looked at me and looked at my shirt. Looked at me and looked at my shirt. I forgot the shirt that I was wearing says Champions for Christ. You know, as a youth pastor, there are times where you get mad at the kids. Not mad at the kids. Not your kids because he was in the Philippines, so don't be afraid. It's perfectly fine, right? I was still learning as a youth pastor. I didn't know, it was maybe the first year of being a youth pastor. And I had these two different, a brother and sister, very difficult because they would go to church just to stand there. Sometimes they would be there and not really be productive, but they're just there kind of like bothering other kids who really want to know Christ. And I looked at their actions, but I never really looked at their heart. That's the problem. I didn't know that inside there's something hurting inside of them. Kid you not, okay, when I tell this story, please do not judge me. Remember I said, it's just a new youth pastor. I'm just getting to know the ministry. I still had the hair during that time. I remember this one kid, because we had worship, and I had to take this. He was about 16 years old, and the girl was about 14 years old. I had put them aside and look them straight in the face. You are not here for God. You are just here bothering people. Imagine me saying that to the kids. I've been sick and tired of this, and I don't want it. And then the younger kid was looking at me. Kid, I looked him straight. I was already big. What do you want to happen, huh? Let's go outside. I kid you not. I'm not excited. I asked him to go out to have a fist fight with me. And he got scared. And that happened, and after that, guess what? After 3 months, their father passed away. And visiting the hospital, it was really hard for me to look at them, and it was hard for them to look at me. I missed the opportunity to minister to them because I was not being Christ-like in the way that I dealt with them. It's a lesson learned. And I feel like, we need to take responsibility. Now I'm more aware of it because you just don't know. People are watching you. Your families are looking at you. And we need to be aware in how we live our lives. And I take it as a privilege to be a light and a blessing to others so that they may come to know Christ and give their lives to Him. Amen. As Christians, let us pray that God will give us the grace to live for Him and grow in His love and loving others, so that our lives won't become a stumbling block to a person who is sincerely seeking Him, but to be a stepping stone for people to come to know Him. The fourth main reason why people reject the message of the cross of Christ, and maybe some of you can relate with this, is pain. How many agree with that, right? The pain that people go through in life, especially the ones that we don't see coming. Losing a loved one. Even in this church, I've heard of stories where, just got a phone call from the Philippines and said that, hey, your loved one just passed away. This person was not even sick. Tragic situations where freak accidents happen and you're serving God, you're following God, you're doing what is right, but yet things are not going right. And this can bring confusion if your foundation is shaky. Instead of running to God, you tend to run away from God because you allow the pain. You allow the pain to control your emotions, to control your thinking. Instead of allowing God to heal you, choose to run away. I can say to you today, life is not fair. How many of you agree with that? I'll be lying to you if I say life is fair. But life is not fair. Every time I look at the mirror, life is not fair. In a good way. But how we respond to problems can either make us or break us. Unfortunately, a lot of people, instead of running to God, they run away from God. Instead of getting healed, they get more damaged as the day goes by. Because I believe with all my heart that it's only through Jesus Christ that we can really find true healing. That it's only through Jesus Christ that we can move on and go on through the tragedies of life. Will the pain be there? Yes. But you're not allowing it to control and ruin your life. Pain. Some people, the reason why they choose not to accept the message of Christ because they cannot understand why bad things happen to good people. And they even say in their minds, if God is a good God or if God is a loving God, why did he not stop that very thing that happened? He could have stopped that guy by pulling the trigger or something like that. And people question these. These are the things that young people go through. They cannot reconcile the love of God and the justice of God with the things that they're seeing around them. And as parents, how can we give them an answer that will kind of like make them see that, hey, God is not against you, but God is for you? You know, I've come across these questions time and time again. And unfortunately, even some of our young people, we've lost because of this thought that crossed their minds. And one of the ways that I minister to them is by saying to them, you know what? The Bible tells us in one of the passages, it says that I am the Lord thy God and I will do what is right. He said that. And plus, let me say this to you. We don't know what God knows. Our view is very limited. We only see what's in front of us. We only see what is revealed to us. But God sees everything and God knows everything. So therefore, God is in a better position to make judgments about life, not you. And we are not called to really kind of like question things. Yes, it's true. We can question things. But there are some questions that will never be answered until we get to heaven. And the only thing that we can do is say, God, I don't understand. I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to put my faith and trust in you. Let me just give you a concrete example. Like, you know, for instance, when my young son, Isaiah, when he was younger, because he's really, you know, he asked a lot of questions. I remember he was about 4 or 5 years old. And he would ask me a lot of questions. And he would ask me about life, about this, and then about the Bible. And I know that there's some questions that he's asking that if I give the answer, his mind cannot really comprehend it. He won't comprehend. No matter how good I explain, I know for a fact that he will not comprehend it. And that's the time that I got down on my knee, looked him straight in the face, and I say to them, son, right now, maybe you don't understand, but in the future you will. But at this moment, at this time, I just want you to hug me, look me straight in the eye, and I'm going to say to you, please just trust me. How much more with God? Maybe you're in a situation right now that maybe you're running away from God because you just don't understand why your wife left you, why your husband left you, why your dog left you, why your cat left you, or whoever left you in your life. And you don't understand. Maybe God is saying to you right now, son, daughter, you don't see the big picture. I know what I'm doing. I am the Lord thy God, and I will do what is right. I just want you to trust me. Fair? Amen, right? Amen. So those are four responses, or those are the four causes why people reject the message of the cross. What were those? Pain, pride, pleasure, people, and pain. The second response to the cross of Christ, which is seen in how the other thief responded to Christ, is what I call the winning response. I love this. In Luke 23, verse 40 to 42, the Bible tells us, but the other criminal rebuked him, don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man had done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I also call this the cross of repentance, right? What was the first cross? The cross of rebellion. Now, this is what we call the cross of repentance. You see, in Matthew 27, verse 44, this is another account of the same story. You see, if you study the Bible, you have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke is what we call the Synoptic Gospels. The reason why they're called the Synoptic Gospels because they tell the same stories. If you look at it, Mark tells the same story. Matthew tells the same story as far as the accounts in the life of Jesus. Now, John stands on its own, and there are some stories in the book of John that is not that you won't see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the good thing about this is that we can see Matthew 27, verse 44, which is the same account of the crucifixion of Christ, shows us a more clear picture about the other thief. We can read here in verse 44. Now, believe me, when growing up as a Christian, and I remember being under Pastor Fred, going to Bible studies. This is one of, I don't know if Pastor Fred remembers this, but this is one of the questions that I asked him because when I read this, wait a minute, it's kind of like different from what Mark said or what Luke said. Look at Matthew 27, verse 44. It says here, in the same way, the rebels, the two criminals, right, who were crucified with him, also heaped insults on him. Wait a minute. So is the book of Mark contradicting the book of Matthew? Or vice versa? Because in the book of Matthew, we can see here that he actually, two criminals were hurling insults at Jesus. While in the book of Luke, there's only one thief that was hurling insults at Jesus. Right? And if you are not studying this, you know, you might come across, well, this is a contradiction. But of course not. They are actually completing and complementing each other's narrative. We can safely assume that the other thief, when seeing Jesus, how he responded graciously to the insults of men, had a change of heart and began to repent and humbled himself before Jesus. So in other words, what happened here is that in the beginning, maybe this, you know, two of them were hurling insults at Jesus. And then when he saw how Jesus responded to those people who were hurling insults at him, and Jesus was just quiet. Remember that time when Jesus was hanging on the cross and then people were passing by, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, whoever was there. And they said, like, if you are the Son of God, why don't you just come down from the cross, save yourself and save us? I always say this illustration. If I was Jesus, I would go down from the cross, slap them in the face, and say to them, don't you know I'm doing this for you? And then go back on the cross and die for the sins of the whole world. That's if I'm Jesus, right? But look what Jesus said. Maybe this was, he saw this. The other criminal saw this. And Jesus said something like this. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. This guy knew that this guy was innocent. But yet, instead of getting mad at those people insulting him, he chose to pray for them. And when he saw this, his eyes were open and began to repent. And we can see his response right now. I'm going to use the word happy. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm happy. Okay. Or look at your neighbor and say, I'm not crazy, but I'm happy. Okay. I'm going to use the word happy as an acronym to describe the person's attitude who believe and accepted the message of the cross of Christ. The first letter is the word H for humility. How many of you know that if you want to fully repent, and a repentant heart, one of the things that we can see or the signs of that is a humble heart. Amen? Let me tell you this story, a funny story. Told about the father of a vacationing family who came across a large sign that read, road closed, do not enter. I think this will be relate to Brother George because and myself, because how many of you know that husbands here that you get irritated if your wife tells you directions when you're driving, yeah? And sometimes that happens, right? Okay. Not all the time it happens, okay. Okay. So the story about the father vacationing with the family who came across a large sign that said, road closed, do not enter. But the man, because of his pride, proceeded around the sign because he was confident it would save them time. Right, Brother George? Oh, no, this is not your story. Okay, okay. Save time. His wife was resistant to the adventure, but there was no turning back for the persistent road warrior. After a few miles of successful navigation, he began to boast about his gift of discernment. His proud smile was quickly replaced with a humble sweat when the road led to a washed out bridge. So he had to turn around, turn the car around, and retracted his tracks to the main road. When they arrived at the original warning sign, he was greeted by large letters on the back of the sign, which says, "Welcome back, stupid." Sometimes we have the uttermost confidence in ourselves to figure out issues, to fix problems, but we let ourselves down. Confidence is only as good as the object it's placed in. When going through life, the humble and wise person places their confidence in an unchanging, all-powerful God. Humility will help us see and understand the meaning of the cross of Christ more clearly because our eyes are not on us, but they are on Christ. And in approaching Christ with a humble heart, we will realize that He is not against us, but He is for us. Don't let the enemy lie to you that Jesus is against you. He loves you, and He wants to bring you to a place of surrender. The next letter is A for agreement. In verse 41, the thief said, "We are punished justly for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." His confession of guilt and acknowledging that they deserve what they were getting and realizing that Jesus did nothing wrong is a picture of a repentant heart. Repentance actually means a change of mind. Because you were not agreeing with God of what He says about you, but now you are agreeing with Him. When God calls a specific action or habit sin, you call it sin and no negotiations about it. Lord, is this sin or could be sin or is it really sin? If God calls it sin, then you call it sin. When you start to agree with God, check this out. When you start to agree with God, you will find that your lifestyle and behavior will also be in agreement with Him. Amen? The next letter I want to share to you is letter P for posture. In verse 42, we can read that the posture of the heart of the thief changed. The posture of the heart of the thief changed. Instead of hurling insults at Jesus, he recognized that Jesus is the King of Kings because he said, "Lord, if you go to your kingdom." So the thief actually recognized that Jesus, even though he was hanging on the cross, recognized that he had a kingdom. Therefore, if you have a kingdom, you are a king. So his posture changed. The next letter that I want to share to you is the letter P, which is proclaim. And I believe with all my heart, this is what the people who got water baptized did today, that they proclaimed their allegiance to Jesus. And they confessed that Jesus is the Lord of their lives. And we can see that when you start to proclaim who Jesus is, people will recognize it, people will notice it. Then instead of just being there in church, listening to the things that God has done to other people, then you find yourself proclaiming the same message to the people that is around you. And lastly, the letter Y, which is actually yield. When you truly repent and give your life to Christ, you will find yourself yielding to His will instead of you forcing what you want to do. You see, a lot of people nowadays, the reason why the cross of Christ is never fully, the message of the cross of Christ is never fully experienced in their lives because they try to change the message of God instead of allowing the message of Christ to change them. God will never yield to you. You need to yield to God. It's not the other way around. You are not Lord. He is. And we need to put that in our heads because the more that we resist, the more that we kind of like say, "God, okay, I'm going to do it my way." Yes, you have that option because God has given you the free will. But please do not expect change. But please do not expect satisfaction in life. Because it's only in following God's will for our lives that we will experience satisfaction. Amen? Okay. Now we look at the cross of Jesus, which I like. Which is God's response to man's main problem equals sin and death. I call this God's gracious response. In Luke 23:43, the Bible tells us, Jesus answered him, I love this. "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." The cross of Christ is the cross of redemption. Amen. The cross of Christ is the cross of redemption. This is where He declared God's love to the world. This is where he declared God's love to the world. This is where he defeated death. And this is where he delivered those who believe in him from the consequence of sin and death. The consequence of sin and death is eternal separation from God. That's why the message of the cross is very valuable. It brings freedom. One of the famous verses, we don't need to show it in the screen, but I know you know it. In John 3:16, the Bible tells us, "For God, what? So loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." And the only thing that we need to do to receive and accept the message of the cross of Christ is by faith say to Jesus, "Come into my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my Master." The big idea for today is this. The winning message of the church is the cross of Christ, because it is the wisdom and the power of God. I want you to bow down your heads real quick with me. Maybe you are here today and you can relate in one of the crosses as far as the first two is concerned. You know, maybe you are kind of like, say, Pastor Boyd, you know, some things have been exposed in my life today. Maybe I'm in the cross of rebellion. You know, I've been rebelling against God because I allowed the pain to overtake my thinking. I allowed pain to blind me of seeing your true love for me. And sometimes the way we overcome things in life is to know the truth. And to know the truth is to set you free. It takes away the blinders of our eyes and helps us see that God is not against us, but God is for us. Maybe you're in that situation right now, the pains of life, or maybe people in church or family members who claim to be Christians, but yet they've kind of like failed to be a testimony because of their actions. They robbed you, they did things to you. Let me encourage you by saying this. Please do not look at people because people are not perfect. Don't allow a hypocrite to rob you of what God wants to give you. Look to Jesus. If there's anyone that we can look at and find the greatest example of love, is Christ himself. And maybe you are blinded by the pleasures that you have, that your goal in life is just to please yourself. And today, and even during the message, you realize that these things that you are longing for, looking for, and trying to really pursue does not really give you satisfaction. And you just want to acclaim more and more and more to the point that you are far and far and far away from God. That is robbing you of seeing the message of the cross. Maybe some of you have pride in your hearts. You see, let me say this to you. I'd rather humble myself before God than for God to humble me. It hurts much more if God humbles you. Don't wait until you're down low in the pits for you to bow down your knee before Jesus. See, he wants you to come to him, and he'll never force you. He'll never force you. But he wants you to experience his amazing grace. Before the singers sing this song, I want to make a call. If you are here today and you know for a fact that you have not given your life to Jesus, that you have not experienced what I call the born-again experience. Being born again mean born in the Spirit. That you have decided in your heart to give your life to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I'm a sinner. Yes, it's true. I have been blinded by my pain. I've been blinded by the pleasures of this world. I've been blinded by the people that surrounded me. And I've been blinded by pride. And I choose to let go all of these things and bow my knee to you, Jesus." And if you are that person and you know that what God wants for you is the best for you, I believe the Spirit of God is here. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just between you and God. If you are here today and you have not given your life to Jesus and you want to make that choice, that decision today, to give your life to Him. You want to move from the cross of rebellion to the cross of repentance. That you want to humble yourself before. That you want to agree with God and say, you know what, God, I'm a sinner. And you want to proclaim, and you want to change your posture, and you want to yield to the message of the cross and saying, God, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I choose to bow down my knee before You and give my life to You. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just between you and God. And if that is you, you want to give your life to Jesus, and this is the first time that you're doing it, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, just between you and God. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm the only one looking. Don't even think about the person next to you. If you want to give your life to Jesus, can you quickly raise up your hand so we can pray for you? Anybody? Anybody? You want to give your life to Jesus? Just quickly raise up your hand. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? You want to give your life to Jesus? Just quickly raise up your hand so I can pray for you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm going to give you time. I believe there's two more. I sense it in my spirit. If that is you, just quickly raise up your hand. Thank you. Thank you, both of you. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. For those people who have decided to give their lives to Jesus, pray this prayer with me in the silence of your heart. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come before You today just as I am, a sinner needing a Savior. And I ask You today, come into my life. Be my Lord, my Savior, and my Master. Please forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus, You are the Lord of my life, and believe in my heart that God raised You from the dead. Help me from this day on to follow You, to serve You. Give me the grace to live for You. Touch my heart, O Lord. Speak to my heart. Thank You for Your love. In Jesus' name, amen.